The Jack Howell Show is presented in part by Ent Credit Union, with locations in Fort Collins, Loveland, Greeley, Windsor, and Timnath. Visit ent.com. Insured by NCUA.
This is The Jack Howell Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza.
The Colorado State Rams made some history. They beat Boise State for the first time ever. And who better to come in and talk to us about that than the safety for Colorado State, Jack Howell. It's the Jack Howell Show presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. Hey, Jack, I did text you before the game, and I said, go make some history, man.
Yes, sir, you did.
So what are you, like, I mean, is there part of that? Is there
maybe you're
is there
the
some,
reason.
Is there some credit? I don't even need the reason, just like maybe a little percentage of that credit. Maybe just something to think about.
Yeah.
And also, I love the Rams fans. The fact that I was not there on Saturday also, they think, might be a reason that you guys won. So that made me feel kind of sad.
I did hear that a couple
but
times
That's the rumor going on out there. So next time they won't let me in. I'm sure of it. Dude, okay, there's so many spots we can go with this one, but 31-30, let me just ask first and foremost. You're on the sidelines. Hail Mary time. Did you really think it was going to be a complete pass? Did you think so?
Okay. The chances of a Hail Mary
they're
so low.
Yeah.
But when you have Torrey Horton and Dallin Holker, you're a little bit more confident, right?
Yeah. Did you ever see Top Gun?
Yeah.
Where they're playing volleyball out there, back and forth, they're high five. That was those guys. They're playing volleyball. Horton just like tips it to him like a volleyball.
Just perfect.
And then there he is. Yeah. They're Dallin Holker right there, just scoops it up. Okay, when did you know it was a catch? Like, what was your vantage point seeing Dallin go in for that catch?
I couldn't really see it, so I was just trying not to get my hopes up. I was like, he didn't catch it. Like, we need to stop celebrating. He didn't catch it. And I was talking to, I can't remember if it was our receivers coach or what. I'm like, did he catch it? Like, did he catch it? He's like, I don't know. And we're just going back and forth, and we're all nervous. And then eventually they gave the call that is a touchdown.
Oh, my gosh.
We all went crazy.
What does that do for you emotionally? Like, how are you feeling when you hear touchdown, tie game somehow?
Yeah.
What's going through your head?
I mean, I was obviously so excited, but then I was nervous because we had a 35-yard extra point.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so then I was getting ready to go into overtime because I'm like, something's going to happen. They already blocked one, and they came really close to blocking that one at the end, actually.
It was kind of close, wasn't it?
It was really close. We were watching it on film day. Yeah. It was the same guy, too. So.
Because he blocked one earlier.
Yep. And so I was just getting ready to go into overtime because I was like, there's no way it's this easy. Something's got to happen. And then, man, as soon as that final whistle sounded and that kick went through.
Right down the middle.
Yeah, right down the middle.
I mean, I had a good vantage point from my couch. So I was like, I'm sitting there going, okay, at this point, the fact that you guys are tied, I don't even care how the rest. I mean, I obviously want the win. But the fact that you're here at this moment, that's right. There's an extra point that could actually win the game right here. And then Jordan Noyes goes up, and right after that, there was a lot of noise in the stadium.
That old man, he can kick it, man.
Oh, my God. What is he, 97 years old? Yeah. Is he 98 now?
Something like that. Grandkids now.
What a moment for you guys. You've never beat Boise State.
Yeah.
You and I, a week ago, we're sitting out on, where were we? Harmony Club.
Yeah.
And I think off the air, on the air, might have said it both times, I said, go beat Boise State, and nobody's talking about the game, the Utah State game.
Exactly.
Nobody's talking about the Utah State game. Like, this is history, dude.
For sure.
You guys have done something that no other Rams have ever done.
Yeah, and it was fun to celebrate with all the fans that stuck around. There weren't many. But you know, being able to give them that and being able to come out on the field, and I think they loved it and they were super excited.
So
we're all
cool.
Taking pictures and they got to kind of experience that joy that we get to feel after a win. And so that was just so cool.
I got to admit, I loved it, but I was so jealous and dying inside. I'm like, oh, this was going to be the moment. I go into the locker room. Jay Norvell's like, Brady, hey, you want to come over and have whiskey or something, man? And then we'd be best friends.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, I'm hanging out more. And, of course, that didn't happen, so we'll never know. But the fans looked so freaking happy that we're there.
Yep.
I do think that CSU needs to take the footage from all that, create a PSA, don't leave early because you could miss this.
100%. And, you know, I would understand if you left in the last 6 minutes, but, I mean, half the stadium was out when it was 10-17 into the third quarter.
Yeah, that's what I don't like.
So that was frustrating, but shout out to all the fans who did stay. Those guys are the real ones. And man, it was just a blast to be able to celebrate with you guys. So
it's awesome. It's just, there's so many emotions that go through it. But 6 minutes is magic time now for CSU. Yeah. It just, I want to go through this. I got a lot to talk about. I should have asked you this before, but how are you feeling? You good? Because you got a little rolled up there for a second, but
yeah,
you're good?
Yeah. Bumps and bruises, but I'll be good for Saturday.
All right. That'll be good because Saturday's going to be suddenly that's a tall task. You know, that's a big one coming up against UNLV. So I had Coach Norvell on my show yesterday, and he was talking about, and I think a lot of people have been talking about you and Torrey Horton's leadership. He referenced you specifically in your speech at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk to us a little bit about that? Do you have it written down by chance? That we can...
I'll leave all the explicit stuff out of it a little bit.
Okay.
You know, there's a lot going on, but kind of just got them all together. And, man, I was pretty fired up and pissed off because, you know, a lot of times you can see guys' heads start to hang when something isn't going wrong. And that's one thing that I've really tried to emphasize on this season is just keep playing all four quarters and don't look at the scoreboard. Because in the past, you know, we have guys who something goes wrong and you can see it in their eyes and they're starting to look down and get down on themselves and you know, we're not going to win this game. And I could see that. And so it pissed me off pretty good. And so I got in there and started chewing them out a little bit and just saying, you know, that was the worst half of football we could have played together. But what makes me the most mad is, you know, seeing how everyone's acting like right now. I said, quit feeling sorry for yourself. I'm like, you have no reason to feel sorry for yourself and you're letting your teammates down by doing that. And so, you know, just went into that a little bit and said, you know, right now they're being more physical than us. They're out hitting us. They want it more, and we need to flip this around. And told the offense, I said, you guys are one of the best offenses in the league for sure.
Yeah.
I'm like, but you're not playing like it. You're playing scared. We're playing timid. And you know, those guys took it. Those guys took it personally, and they took it as a challenge, and they went out there and they did what they're supposed to do.
How you're making me want to go out there and get hit and probably killed if I did that. But yeah, like that kind of stuff, that's the stuff you see in movies, man. And you're in this moment. You're a captain for a reason. And I think there's a lot of people that are talking about you in that speech and how you motivated this team. And again, people throw around the term captain, and there's a lot of meaning behind that. And some guys take it a little more seriously than others, and you're one of those guys.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think being a captain – you know, it signifies something big, especially at CSU. And to be able to be a captain, I feel that I owe a responsibility to these guys. And, you know, sometimes that might not be saying anything. And then other times, you know, you need to step up and talk to the guys and just felt that it was right this time. And, you know, sometimes what you need to hear is a little bit of tough love and it really got the guys motivated this time. And, you know, they went out and they did everything they're supposed to do.
Yeah, I mean, and again, I love that so much. And we got a couple of minutes here in this one, but I want to actually go through the last few drives with you, the last 6 minutes of this game.
Yeah.
Because there was an interception, and we'll get to that in the next segment. BFN throws an interception, and I think, and I don't blame people for this because I was there too. I think a lot of us were like, that's it.
Yeah.
You know, it's over. Boise State goes on to score a touchdown after that. And that was, we thought it was over.
Right.
But then after that final touchdown hit, magic started to happen for this team. You got, I mean, Coach Norvell was talking about it. Like, what is the probability of not only getting an onside kick, but then completing a Hail Mary pass?
Yeah. I think he's saying it's like 1 in 1,000 or something like that today, but it's pretty crazy.
I was joking. You know, it's like, he's like, I didn't say that to the guys, obviously, during the game. But after the fact, hey, guys, FYI, there was like really no chance that anything like that was going to happen.
Seriously.
Somehow it did.
Yeah.
But you guys stayed together. You know, you came up, and defensively, you guys came up with big stops when you needed to, especially to force that punt, to force them to go three and out. You don't do that. Game's over right there. You force the three and out. You get the punt. You're like, I think offense got the ball in like the 12-yard line or something like that.
Yeah.
So there's a journey ahead for CSU. But you had guys making plays. I didn't think Torrey Horton and Dallin Holker were going to ever let go of each other.
I know.
Look, they were just like
CSU football posted something with Dallin, and it's like legend has it he's still holding on to football today, and he was holding on to that ball all night long.
I wouldn't let that thing. Did he get to keep that ball?
I assume he did.
I don't know how it works.
I don't know who would have taken it from him.
Oh, that was awesome. 31-30, Colorado State beats Boise State over the weekend for the first time ever. It's the Jack Howell Show presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. We'll be right back.
Hi, welcome to End Credit Union.
Oh, hi.
Is that a llama?
Yeah, banking can be a little stressful, so I brought my no-drama llama.
You know, we have hassle-free, stress-free checking. No strings, no drama.
Oh, he likes the sound of that.
Plus, you also earn dividends.
Wow, guess I could have left Kyle at home.
Start banking like you own the place at ent.com/checking. End Credit Union, insured by NCUA.
Colorado State, no doubt, feeling pretty good after the dub against Boise State over the weekend that bled into Sunday a little bit.
Yeah.
That was another late one for football fans all over the place. And, man, it's just one of those wins that you really feel like, I think Coach Norvell said something like a breakthrough win that you finally needed. Because you guys had a couple wins last year. You know, two wins already before that game. So it wasn't like the season was a complete miserable mess just yet. I mean, you weren't at that point. But you hadn't really had any of those marquee victories for a while. And this is one of those.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, anytime you can make history is huge, obviously. But especially a team like Boise, where they've had our number for so long. We've never beat them. And, you know, just to be able to keep fighting and, you know, never give up, especially when we were down, what was it,
30-10.
Yeah, 30-10.
I don't know, 20 remaining,
yeah.
Something like that.
And obviously you can say, oh, we don't look at the scoreboard, stuff like that. But in reality, you know, it's right there. It's a giant screen. You're going to see it. And obviously your thoughts are creeping up. Man, we might lose this game. We're probably going to lose this game. But I think that's the difference between being a good team and not is being able to say, yeah, we have the odds against us, but you know, what are we going to do with that? You know, how are we going to keep playing? And that's what those guys did, is they're just able to keep playing and keep their head down and not pay attention to the scoreboard and honestly use it as motivation, if anything. So
it's 23-10. CSU gets the ball. And it's about, I don't know, 7 minutes left or so. Braden Fowler Nicolosi, he giveth and he taketh away sometimes.
Yes.
He giveth in a big way at the end of that game, though, man. He was rolling.
For sure.
Throws an interception. 23-10 still. That interception, Jack, I'll be honest, that felt like it was it.
Yep.
I was like, oh, it's probably over here,
right.
But I'm going to leave it on in the background. We'll see what happens.
Right.
What were your thoughts? Did you think it was over?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, we're on the sidelines and we got to stop and we're feeling good. Offense is going to go down here and score. And then all of a sudden they have the ball on the 5-yard line, which is tough. But, you know, as a defense, we're like, all right, we need to go out there, hold them to a field goal like we've been doing all second half. We didn't get that done, but obviously is looking pretty bad from that point on. But I just kept telling them, just keep playing, boys, just keep playing. And our special teams coach was just like, we're still going to win this game. And a few people were looking at him like,
is he a wizard or
yeah,
something?
Like, you sure? But yeah. But man, just kept believing in each other and just kept fighting, really. And when you just keep fighting, good things are going to happen. And it produced more good stuff. And then, you know, eventually you put enough of that together and you come out on top.
So is Ashton Genty or Genty? I keep saying it both ways.
Genty, I think.
Either way, he's a stud. He gets that touchdown, goes up. That's ultimately what puts Boise State up 30-10. He waves bye-bye to the crowd.
Right.
And he's like, it's over. And again, at that point, 30-10, you're wondering. CSU gets the ball back with 6 minutes or so to go in this game. You go down, and the touchdown from BFN to Lewis Brown.
Yeah.
I mean, how the hell did he catch that?
Yeah. And he caught another one after that. He's out of bounds, but
yeah.
Went up and snagged it with one hand.
Oh, that was amazing, too.
Yeah.
So he is coming up. Like, his stock
definitely
is raising,
definitely,
for sure.
Yep.
You get that touchdown, and you're like, okay, it's 30-17. Probably going to have to onside it here because there's not enough time. I think there's 4 minutes left.
Yeah. We practice onside a lot. And so I knew if it's anybody that could do it, it'd be us. And we went out there, onside it, and got the ball back. I'm like, oh.
It was a crazy onside kick. Yeah. It went like,
yep.
Just how many yards did it go? Yeah. And that, I mean, that was it. It was a race to the football at that point. You saw it kind of slip off of somebody, keeps rolling.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, now that that ball is free and doing something weird, you guys are going to probably, you might be able to recover that.
100%. Yeah. Vince Brown, one of our tight ends, just ran down there. He's like a 6'6 dude, so he's super long and was able to jump on it before them. And I think at that point is when everyone was like, okay, we can win this game after we got that onside. And so we went down and scored again and then had another onside and should have got that too. I mean, that's a real gray area in that call, and you know, could have went either way, and there's no flag initially, so we all thought we had it, and then after like 2 minutes, they ended up throwing a flag, which was pretty frustrating. But I think that motivated us pretty heavy on defense. We're like, all right, like watch this, and so went three and out and got the ball back to our offense, and defensively, we're like, all right, we did our job. Now offense, just go out there and finish it. And I was telling the media after the game, they were saying, you know, how do you feel with the offense having one touchdown with, what was it, 33 seconds to drive the length of the field?
And, yeah.
And I said, you know, most people look at that and say not good, especially with no timeouts. But, you know, we got 14 and 5. We got LB, J. Ross. We got so many weapons. And, man, they just did such a good job putting a perfect drive together. And then and got a little bit of help from God there at the end.
Oh my goodness. Yes. And again, the second onside kick, it's like you get it, but then the penalty, and I'm thinking, okay, again, the chances of getting two onside kicks and then probably going down and scoring, the percentages are pretty low here.
Right.
And then to get an onside kick but then a penalty is called, it's still looking kind of grim for people like us, you know, but you guys are still believing. You make the stop. You shut down Genty for a one-yard gain. But then Taylen Green takes off, runs but then there's holding on that call.
Yeah, yeah. I was on the other side of the field, and so I seen that. I was like, dang, it's over. They got us. And then seen a flag, and we seen his hold, and they're like, we got these guys now.
Yeah.
And I think at that moment, everyone knew, like, we're going to go win this game.
That made it 2nd and 19, yep. And then you guys, no gain after that. Now it's 3rd and 19. They run it again, nothing. And then they punt it away, and it's go time from there.
Exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
It was just one of those. I don't know where it ranks up for Rams fans, like in terms of one of the greatest regular season wins, but that's got to be up there.
It's got to be up there for sure. Yeah, especially against a team like Boise, where we never beat them. So that's got to be top three.
It's nuts, too, because then last week you look at it and it was like you guys are up 17-0, and then crazy things happen throughout. This game was even more unlikely that the team that was down was going to come back and make this thing happen.
Yeah, it feels good being on the other side of a comeback, for sure.
I mean, it's just, again, and then you said the people that were there jump out and they storm the field, and you got guys hugging up on players and coaches and families getting pictures.
So cool.
It's what this thing is all about, and I think we were talking about this during the break, Jack. No matter what happens, and I'm still very confident that there is some immediate great days ahead for CSU, but you're the legacy already gets to go away and say, hey, we did something we've never done as a program, and that's beat this team, this Broncos team. It's not a real rival, but it kind of is because it's a conference team that you can't beat.
Yeah.
And now you did it.
Yeah, I mean, we had players saying, like, this is a rivalry game this week, and we got to treat it like it. And I was saying, man, it ain't a rivalry game if we've never won one.
Right.
And I'm like, we're their little brother, if that's how they see it. And obviously, we don't feel that way, but, you know, that's how it's going to be looked at. And we use that as motivation, really, is we're tired of, you know, Boise saying they run the conference and everything goes through them, and we kind of were fed up with it, and didn't have a great game the whole game. Defense was kind of wishy-washy back and forth, and made a good enough stand and really came together there in the second half, though.
I tell you what, next season when CSU probably goes to Boise State, I'm pretty sure they're going to be really hungry.
They'll be
how you create a rivalry now, is they're pissed off that they lost, and we'll see how CSU, whether Jack Howell's there or not. Well, you know, we don't know about the future for you just yet, but we'll see what happens on that side of it. So where do you put that? They are, you do consider them a rival then. Do you personally consider them a rival?
I do. I consider them a rival for sure. I mean, they're a really good football program. They're well coached, they're disciplined. And then obviously they got a lot of studs, both quarterbacks, their running backs, couple receivers, and then defensively they're a solid unit, play good together. So, but yeah, I mean, it's always super competitive, super chippy when we're out there, and so I'd consider it a rivalry.
I think this was an interesting one too, because I don't care how the Broncos do in the non-conference schedule, they always light it up once they hit the conference schedule. That's mm-hmm. when they are just untouchable.
Right.
So a lot of people would look at that and say, this is the worst time to catch the Boise State Broncos, is right when they're getting into the conference play.
Right.
And maybe you caught them at the worst time, but you came away with the win.
But we came away with the win.
It's what good teams do, man. Now you go on the road, it can be warm, but it's in a dome.
Yeah, so that'd be perfect.
AC, all that, we good. I saw a Raiders owner just donated like $1 million to him or something like that. So.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a quick break. It's the Jack Howell Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
Hi, welcome to End Credit Union.
Oh, hi.
Is that a llama?
Yeah, banking can be a little stressful, so I brought my no-drama llama.
You know, we have hassle-free, stress-free checking. No strings, no drama.
Oh, he likes the sound of that.
Plus, you also earn dividends.
Wow, guess I could have left Kyle at home.
Start banking like you own the place at ent.com/checking. Ent Credit Union, insured by NCUA.
Welcome back into the Jack Howell Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. We're going to get to Jack's Ent Credit Union game balls of the week. But I got to talk about this scary moment, and I just hate it when we see this in football. Kennedy McDowell goes down we were talking about that kickoff and the illegal hit and all that stuff that took place. He goes down, and he's down for a long time. He sounds like he's doing pretty good right now, though, right? He got out of the hospital early Sunday or something like that. Mm-hmm. Seems like he's in really good spirits, too.
Yeah, he's a tough kid, and I think that was their biggest mistake, honestly, because that might have been the biggest motivation in the game. I know for us defensively, before we went out there on that drive in the second half, I kind of brought the team together, and it's just like, hey, that's your brother. Like, look what they're doing to you. Look what they did to one of us, and you know, take that personally, and you know, don't play late, but you know, you finish blocks, you finish tackles, and you be violent, you be physical within the rules, and you bring it to these guys, because you know, look what they did to one of your brothers, and the guys responded really well to that, and we out hit them in the second half.
Well, Jacob Gardner took that message to heart, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
Because he was playing through, man. And you know, somebody had asked me, they said, is that being a great teammate or is that a bad play? And I was like, given the circumstances, it's probably both. I mean, is it a bad play? Did he get flagged for it?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, maybe so.
Yeah.
But is it the kind of play that your teammates want to see a guy make? When, I mean, their defender, it seemed like it was after the whistle. There was a little extra throwdown, too.
Right.
So, again, I'm not excusing it. I got to be fair. But at the same time, if I'm a coach and I'm a captain, I'm looking at Jacob Gardner going, yeah, that'll work.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not condoning it, but it's good.
Yeah, there's a lot of times where I'll get on guys for stupid plays after the whistle, you know. It's like, you got to be smarter than that. But, I mean, that's one of those circumstances where it's like, Jacob's a captain. I trust him. If he thinks it was late and he thinks that's what's best to do, then totally go for it. We got your back. And I think we're all kind of fed up with, you know, some of the stuff that was going on the field.
Yeah. You could feel it. And you could feel the rest of the team kind of responding mm-hmm. to that as we kind of progress through this game. Yeah. I mean, You guys, it seemed like a band of brothers out there. I mean, right. You guys were there for each other when the touchdown happened. Dallin Hulker. I mean, it's like everybody caught that ball,
right?
You know, yeah. I mean, I know Dallin. Yeah. Obviously, he gets credit for it.
Yes,
but it felt like everybody caught that pass,
and the stadium too. Like the fans that were there, they could feel it. It really felt like it was just us, and then whoever was in that stadium, because there wasn't much, so it really felt like those guys who was left had our backs, and it was awesome.
Yeah, it was a really great night. So great nights like that. We got several players that stood out to us, of course. Jack gives out his Ant Credit Union Game Ball of the Week every week, offensive and defensive. Now, I'm just going to say this because I know you won't say it. Mm-hmm. I don't know who your guy is, but, I mean, you led the team in tackles. You had 15 tackles. And that push out of bounds, too, I don't know what quarter that was in, but a Boise State receiver goes up to catch the ball. If he wouldn't have been there, he comes down. That's right. A big gain. Mm-hmm. You pushed him out. Like that, I love seeing that play.
Yeah.
That was a great play by you.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
So I would, if I were in your seat, I would be like, Jack Howell gets the defensive game ball of the week. But I know you're not that kind of guy. You're not going to do that. But I just wanted to clarify that. If you wanted to look at a guy that maybe stood out, you were all over the field. And that's not just because you're in here in the studio. You did stand out.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So, okay, that being said, on the defensive side of the ball, who are you going with?
There's a lot of guys, and we had some young guys step up at linebacker because Chase Wilson got that targeting call, which was absolutely great hit, if you ask me. But football today is a little bit challenging to be a defender, and it's kind of leans
towards the offense. Don't know
how you do it. I got to go with Chigi Newsom, our corner. He got his first pick of the season. He's just a stud. He takes away half the field every time. And I got to go with Chigi. He plays super physical, just throwing his body in there. You don't see that from a corner a lot. And just a great leader, too. So you got to go with Chigi.
He's one of those guys you don't hear his name a lot with interceptions because he's shutting down.
He shuts it
you
down.
They don't throw
to his side.
Yeah, they just don't go to his side. So when he can get a pick, and that was a good pick.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like that. That's a good one. On the offensive side of the ball, I mean, BFN had almost 400 yards passing, 3 touchdowns. Torrey Horton, surprise, surprise, 100-plus yards.
Yeah.
Dallin Hulker, 85 yards. Right. And then, of course, the famous touchdown now.
Yeah.
Goffney was pretty damn
Goffney
good, too. I mean,
yeah.
85 yards and a touchdown. We talked about Brown's catch in the end zone. I mean, that was amazing. A lot of guys to pick from on the offensive side.
Yeah, so Van Shield ran the ball
Van
hard.
And we got to get Van in here one of these
days. I know.
Dude. Get him, bring his cowboy hat in. Let's get that done.
We need to. He's a dude.
So where are you going?
I got to go with Dallin Hulker, man. You know what I mean? You got to catch.
You just have to because, again, that made history. And I know there were so many things that led up to that. Mm-hmm. But that was the play.
Yeah.
So, okay. And let me ask you this. If it would have just been like he had 30 yards catching, 30 yards receiving, and then that touchdown, would you still give it to him?
I'd still give it to him.
Yeah, it might have been his only catch, and I'd probably still give it to
seriously,
him.
Seriously, it was so electric and... I mean, it was so impressive, too. He's 6'6". He's a huge dude, and he threw his body down so quick. But Torrey was telling him, be ready for the tip, and just they executed it so well.
So is that true? Torrey told Dallin that, hey, be ready. I'm going to tip it to you.
That's what he kept telling me. He said that. So. I mean, unless they're lying, but I think it's true, yeah.
I love that. And again, so much was talked about. You and Torrey specifically, too, as leaders, as captains of this team. And how you talk to your team. And I think that that's one of those things, man, that carries this group over. Mm-hmm. And I think you've had some big moments. The Rocky Mountain Showdown was a big moment. Didn't result in the way you wanted it to. This game, though, this is one of those games where I think you can really use it as that launching point for CSU for the rest of the way. Now you know, hey, we can do anything.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, you make history in a year and you still got 6 more games. That's huge motivation. And being able to go play at UNLV in that environment at the stadium, the Raider Stadium, I mean, that's going to be so electric. That's something you dream about as a kid. So, we got some momentum. I know they're a really good football team. Their only loss is to a top 4 team, Michigan. They're ready. They're excited. A lot of people were overlooking them this season and they proved a lot of people wrong. So, shout out to them. They got a young quarterback who's been doing good for them, but we got a real motivated team, so I'm excited.
Yeah, I talked to a couple of insiders with the Mountain West, and they said there was one person that voted UNLV to finish number one, to win the whole thing, and I was told that there were serious considerations about this person, like, hey, maybe we should tighten up how we do our voting system here in the preseason rankings and all that. Well, either way you slice it, no matter what happens, at least the guy wasn't all wrong, no matter what happens. They're 5-1.
Exactly. I mean, they're one win away from being bowl eligible, so...
Preseason awards are always interesting to me anyway.
Yeah.
I saw Nuggets player Christian Brown had tweeted that out because he's like, I don't understand preseason awards. What do you make of those? Is it cool or is it kind of like, yeah, but it's based on what you did last year?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think you should get the recognition that you did last year or from what you did last year. But at the same time, I mean, so many things can change and there's so many variables in a new season. But preseason awards are kind of weird, huh?
They are because, again, you guys, I want you guys to achieve all the success you possibly can. Get awards, right. Get those trophies, get break records, win games and things like that. But then you add a preseason award and it's like, well, that's kind of cool, but it's not really real.
Yeah,
it's based on what might happen.
Done anything. Exactly.
Yeah. So again, it's interesting. And even with some of those players, you know, okay, preseason, that just means they're going to go and be a really good player this year.
Right.
You know that.
100%.
It was a great win, ultimately. So when do you guys start kind of looking at, when have you started looking at UNLV? I mean, I know you're supposed to like have that rule of turn the page. Man, it's got to be hard to turn the page from that one. That was something you want to relive over and over again.
No, 100%. I mean, that's something that's hard to come back from in football is emotional wins or losses is being able to turn that page. And, you know, we've already started on UNLVs just because you got to be able to, you know, watch the film from Boise, see what you did right, see what you did wrong, but ultimately move on because beating Boise isn't what, you know, it's one of the things we want to do this season, but we still have a whole lot of other things. And, you know, we want to be bowl eligible and we still want to win the conference. So
it's still there. I mean, there's got to be a few things that can happen, of course, but you're 1-1 in this conference.
Definitely.
So now it's like it's still very much a possibility.
100%.
You can kind of control that destiny, I think, still.
Yep. It's nice.
All right. The Jack Howell Show presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. We shall return. Don't go anywhere. It's Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, welcome to End Credit Union.
Oh, hi.
Is that a llama?
Yeah, banking can be a little stressful, so I brought my no-drama llama.
You know, we have hassle-free, stress-free checking. No strings, no drama.
Oh, he likes the sound of that.
Plus, you also earn dividends.
Wow, guess I could have left Kyle at home.
Start banking like you own the place at end.com/checking. End Credit Union, insured by NCUA.
Welcome back into the Jack Howell Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza, here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK. Jack, you never know what's going to happen to this radio station, man. You just, seriously, anything can happen at any given time.
Yeah, some dude's trying to sell steaks.
Yeah, randomly. This is a cool part. The guy just walks upstairs, starts selling steaks, and I'm like, Jack, you want some of that? I can't buy it for you because there's probably some kind of weird rule for it. But we got our producer over there is like wheeling and dealing, trying to figure it out. But you know how they get you? They say, it's $4.
I can't do math.
They say it's $4 a steak, and you're like, great, I'll take three. No.
But you have to buy the whole box.
The entire box, and it's like $1 million.
Yeah,
that's how they get you, man.
Well, it wasn't $1 million. It was like,
yeah, but I bet you
75% off.
I bet you didn't wake up today prepared to pay $168 for steak.
Yeah, if I had that kind of money, I'd be all over it.
I mean,
too bad the rest of your offensive linemen and defensive linemen weren't here.
I know.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, but then Micah would get in trouble for buying steak, and then you'd be sued.
Big scandal.
You know,
no,
how
but
it goes.
They'd have to buy their own steak.
Yeah, they would. They probably would too. Is the problem? They pay a lot of money for food.
Why, they probably eat a lot.
They eat a lot.
Do you eat? Are you a big eater?
Yeah,
you're a built guy, but you're a safety, so you need to be.
I honestly don't eat a ton. You know, I don't. I feel like I don't really have to. I used to cut weight a little bit for wrestling, and so I don't always have to be eating. Kind of got used to that a little bit, so. But I kind of have to force myself to eat really just to keep up with the weight and everything, especially during season because you lose so much weight. But, I'm not a huge, Huge eater.
Well, one trip to Crazy Carl's Pizza will take care of all.
Oh, 100%.
You know, we'll just go crazy with that, and you'll be good.
I'll still put down a whole pizza.
You do that, and then you still look like you do. I do that, and it's like someone needs to roll me out of there, man. So, like, enjoy it, and you'll probably have that forever. So, I hate you, kind of, but I love you. UNLV this weekend for you guys. It's going to be hot there, but again, you got the AC in the indoor arena there, so that'll be kind of cool playing in there, man. Cool. I mean, that'd be sweet.
Yeah, NFL Stadium. Brand new. It'll be electric.
I'll be curious to get your thoughts on it when you come back next week.
Yeah,
like what you think.
It'll be fun.
UNLV beats Nevada last week, 45-27. There was really no doubt in this game. They have a young core. They have a true freshman quarterback that is playing extremely good football right now. He had 259 yards and two touchdowns, so I know that's going to be a guy hot on your radar right now. The good thing is about these true freshman quarterbacks, Braden can tell you that, right?
Yeah.
You're going to have some really great moments, but hopefully you can create some really bad moments too.
Oh, 100%. I mean, we got a group of veteran secondary, whole defense, really. So, you know, show them some disguises, get after them a little bit. I mean, I don't really know what our game plan is yet, for sure, and I obviously can't touch on that too much.
One of these days, we're going to get it out of you.
Yeah.
We're going to get the entire game plan.
That's the thing, is being able to get after a young quarterback in all aspects of the game.
How much do you look at, okay, so we know Nevada is just kind of, since Coach Norvell left, Nevada's, you know, gone pretty far south. They're 0-6. Mm-hmm. How much of that film do you look at when it's not as great of a team going up? Or do you want to go back a couple of weeks? Or are you looking at, you know, different matchups and things like that?
I think you kind of look at defenses that are similar to yours and, you know, kind of what run plays are going to go against you and kind of, you know, like OY counter, OT counter, flop zones, you know, sort of stuff like that, and kind of prepare for that. And, you know, our coaches kind of guess what they're going to do against us. But then obviously looking at like the receivers releases and what moves the running backs like to do and certain stuff like that and tendencies and tells. So kind of looking at everything. But, you know, and then obviously like their latest games, you know, who's their go-to guys? What have they done recently? Is there any trick plays or stuff like that?
Yeah, Hawaii was the week before that. And Hawaii's, you know, they're on the improve a little bit, I think.
Yeah.
But that was, you know, their game the week before that, of course. So they were, again, they run the football. They run really well. And they think that's what sets up a young quarterback to find some success. He's not throwing for 500 yards a game, but he's throwing touchdowns. Because Lester's running the ball, you know, getting close to 90 to 100 yards a game.
Yeah, I mean, not every team needs to have a quarterback that's going to throw for 400, 500 yards when you have a good run game. And you can kind of rely on that, especially when you have a young quarterback and kind of lean on some of your older players. I mean, that's huge. And then not only that, but you get a good run game going, and that opens up play action passes and opens up the pass game. So, I mean, they got a really good football team, and they're well coached.
Braden Fowler Nicolosi, as we kind of wrap up, I wanted to get your thoughts on him. That guy, he's just a fighter, dude.
Yeah.
He just, it doesn't matter. What is it in Ted Lasso? I don't know if you saw Ted Lasso. It's like, be a goldfish, just forget whatever your last play would, forget about it. Don't. That's what I love about his fight and his spirit, man. He does not dwell on anything that he's doing wrong. He goes right back 100%. At it and keeps going.
Braden kills me, man. He'll have three picks, but I mean, if he has three picks, that means he's going to have 600 yards, you know?
Yeah.
But he just keeps slinging that thing. He doesn't care, and he's got a little bit of that Texas QB in him.
How do you harness that a little bit? Is there a way to do it, or do you even dare do that? Because then that would not make him him.
For me, I don't really care.
Yeah.
I mean, defensively, we'll take care of you. We can stop him if you turn the ball over, but just keep throwing. Just keep slinging that rock. We're behind you, and we'll make good things happen. Obviously, eliminate some of the stupid stuff if you can, but we all have stupid plays, you know, defensively and offensively on all positions. But, protect the ball a little bit more and just keep slinging that thing. And he's such a good quarterback. We're all behind him. He's a stud, man.
I saw a bunch of stuff on Twitter, and I think this is kind of along the lines of where you're going with this, Jack. They're like, dude, I don't care if the guy throws picks. Let him go.
Yeah.
Just take the reins off and let's go.
Yeah, it's so fun to watch him.
It is. Even the pick, that pick he had was tough.
It's tough.
But there's a lot of picks that I see and I go, yeah, but you know,
100%.
He's trying to do something with it.
Yeah, I think there's even a few picks this year where I think he was just trying to make something happen because we were down. And especially like that last one against CU, I mean, you can't really fault him for that just because he's trying to throw up, make last play of the game, make something happen. So, I mean, yeah, Braden's a stud, man. And he's pretty mobile. I feel like a lot of teams underestimate him. He'll be able to escape the pocket and get a few crucial yards that we'll need. But then his ability to extend plays and keep his eyes downfield and then throw a perfect ball. And he just stays composed. I mean, you see a lot of guys who will throw two picks and in a game and they shut down and you get in their heads, but not Braden. It's almost like it motivates him a little bit more. And so we love that about him.
It's exciting, too. It's an exciting brand of football. And, you know, it was funny. I had Coach Norvell, as I talked about on the show yesterday, and there were a lot of people like, why aren't you asking about the first quarter and the conservative play calling? It's like, dude, I'm not going to ask Coach Norvell about that day after Hail Mary win, after you beat Boise State for the very first time. But, Jack, what was with that conservative play calling on the first quarter? I'll ask you because you're defensive. We're good. You're probably like, yeah, what was that, Coach? What's going on with that, man?
Yeah, man. We trust Coach, so you know whatever he's got going on, I'm sure.
Do you think, and again, feel free to just move right past it, but do you think there's part of it where it's like, I know Braden has a tendency to throw the ball over, so if I can find a way to slow the game down a little bit, make him feel a little more comfortable, maybe those turnovers won't happen?
Oh, I think it's huge for any quarterback is to build their confidence up, get them some completions, and you know not bomb it deep right off the bat. But yeah, I mean, defensively, I can't even really speak what's going on because we're making adjustments on the bench and trying to figure out their offense and everything. So we can't even pay attention to the game that much.
It's like a different world, isn't
it? Yeah, so I can't even tell you.
When they're out on the field, you're over here doing 4 million things, trying to figure out what went wrong here, what to prepare for next.
Yeah, I mean, the only plays that I really watched were the Hail Mary, the last drive, really. So
a college football sideline, or a football sideline in general, is just amazing because it's like its own ecosystem on the side over there. Mm-hmm. You've got what's going out on the field, which is center stage, but it's like a lab, a working lab constantly during the game. So.
Yeah, I mean, Boise came out with some completely different stuff and some runs that we weren't expecting, type of runs, and you know, on the sidelines and in halftime, we kind of had to adjust a little bit. And then once we figured out what they're doing, we were able to stop them a little bit better.
Well, Jack, I'm glad you're feeling good, man. I was worried there for a second, but you're tougher nails, so you just keep rocking and rolling. Big one coming up this weekend against UNLV. Congratulations, man. You guys did what you'd never done. You beat Boise State.
It's awesome.
Enjoy it. Get ready. You got UNLV. I'll send you a little text again.
Perfect.
You know, hey, go do something. I'll figure out something.
Yeah, something.
Yeah.
So we can get the win.
Yeah, I'll get something cool. It'll be a poetry for you.
Perfect.
Jack, my man, appreciate it. It's been the Jack Howell Show presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFK.
The Jack Howell Show is presented in part by Ent Credit Union, with locations in Fort Collins, Loveland, Greeley, Windsor, and Timnath. Visit ent.com. Insured by NCUA.